So this month I taught a natural farming course in Kona at Mayumi Ota's house. He's kind of a famous artist, I guess, which I found out afterwards.
Oda.
Right? Yeah, see? I didn't even know until afterwards. But I could tell that she was definitely into art because her whole place over there is really nice permaculture. She has some really nice gardens surrounding the house. And then they have a bunch of gardens down below that are kind of European vegetables, like using like kales and other greens and a bunch of things like that. And they have an orchard. And they're doing it as a CSA, but primarily right now what they're doing is just mulching. And I was able to go over there and kind of show them and a few other people just how they can take natural farming and put it into their inputs. And one of the things they had made was a comfrey tea where they just took water and filled it with comfrey leaves. And it like made a fertilizer, but the thing was like super pilau, and like I stuck my hand inside to smell, like just to sample it to see, and the smell didn't come off my hand for like a day. So it's really kind of gross. And to see that, and that's like what they were putting on their plants, and then to talk to them and show them how the natural farming things are all edible, they were like, oh, great, because that really stunk and we didn't really like that. Yeah, anaerobic, and it had some fungi growing on the top, so there were some mushrooms and some microbe activity, but not the really type you wanted to be putting out there. So, yeah, so I was able to show them that. And with their composting and things, just suggesting that they mix the IMO into their compost to get them going so they can make like IMO 5 instead of just like their compost were pretty weak. So it's just some nice suggestions that I had for them on their farm. Really nice to see, though. Then the other day, I went out with the county to the land out in Pauilo that they have opened up. They have 5 acres that's fenced in with a nice chain-link fence right along the roadside. And the county recently gave $275,000 to the food bank so they could purchase canned goods. And the county's thinking that they don't want to continually do that because something like the usage is up like 40% in the last year on the food basket. So a lot of people are starting to rely on that, so they're having to replenish it. So the county instead wanted to put money towards 4 things, which one is farming so that they have, food. 2 is educating people so that they can take the farming practices home with them. 3 was working with the pasture, like ranchers, because the slaughterhouse is just Micaiah, that location there. So it's a real good place for that. And the 4th thing was working with hunters, because right now people catch pigs or turkeys or whatever, and there's no protocol for turning that into the food basket. And I guess they said, like in America, they can go and take deer and elk and turn them into the food basket, but in Hawaii, there's no thing for that. So they're kind of looking at those ways of expanding the food basket. And to me, I think natural farming is the perfect fit there for the second component, which is education. I mean, the first one, too, as a corollary of educating people, you get, food grown from teaching natural farming. But this is a really good venue there to teach people. You know, for $10, you can get enough fertilizer to do your whole garden. So it's really affordable. Instead of just spending $10 and getting a few canned goods, you get $10 and get a whole garden. So the county right now is looking for a nonprofit to kind of head that up. I have a few ideas on kind of how to do that, but if you want to show your support for natural farming, definitely hit up your council members and talk to them about, the benefits of natural farming for you and how you think it would be a great fit for that project. Because I really think that's like, if the county can begin to get into natural farming, then it's a real good way to spread it.
What's that project called? Talk to council members.
There's a newspaper article with I think it's the county food basket program. I think it's a way to refer to it right now. I'm not sure exactly. The press conference was basically to kind of just show that this land is now available, because for years they've been struggling with the ownership of this land. Previous mayors have tried to sell the land, and finally they got it in a situation where it's actually being opened up to the farmers. And they leased a bunch of land up Mauka for biofuel and larger tracts. I think they went that way. But yeah, it was in the newspaper. No, this was on March 30th. But what I did was I was invited there by the councilman, and yeah, that's me right there. And what I did was, because it was for the food basket, and a lot of people say, oh yeah, you know, you give the people at the food basket fruit, but they don't want that, they just want McDonald's, right? And that's like a lot of people say that, and a lot of people in the food basket actually would prefer McDonald's. But I think it's because their food isn't as tasty as this food that I prepared here, where I made kalo on the bottom, then I put fresh natural farmed eggs and some avocado in there, and I made like a kind of like a loco moco from my land. Then I made some sugarcane juice with lime, and then I even got the councilman to drink some fermented plant juice. And I brought bananas and papayas and everything all from my land here to make that happen. Oh, okay. Is this the same thing?
No.
Okay. And so it was just a lot of fun, and I was trying to inspire them just to say, like, look, you can eat off the land, and it can look like what, you know, local people are used to eating, and it's really good for you, and all naturally farmed, I think. Yeah.
I think you're impressed.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. Those are the two things I was up to kind of this past month. But this, let's see, this is Hamakua North Hilo Agricultural Cooperative, Hamakua Farmland for Lease, 5 to 20 acres, irrigation, long-term lease expires in 2033. No residential use, huh? 150 per acre plus a $300 admin fee. You have to meet certain qualifications. But do you know where this is?
It's right above the slaughterhouse.
So it's in that same...
Okay. That's a cooperative one, right?
Oceanside. Yeah. How far off the highway?
Yeah. But very good. It's not available now.
Real steep land.
So what is this land for? Farming or residential?
No, non-residential.
Oh, non-residential.
Yeah, non-residential.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Rick, you want to talk about the Kopialani project at all?
With the help of Drake and let's go Hilo, so that Robin opened up one garden that we have on the baseball field side of Kopialani Elementary School on the campus. We've been working with the principal Bob Hill on a while to get this actually up and running. Finally broke ground on that. So what we're doing now is actually in two phases. We have one that's strictly going to be for school. That's going to be an educational experience for kids. And the other part is for the community to help just sort of the people them, I just knew what I wanted to do. And you know, the Kaplan Elementary School is more like low-income, low-middle-class, more perfect. And it's great for the team providing us. We really appreciate you guys' support. If you want to support the community garden stuff, because what we did is Cafe 100 helped raise about $700, a matching grant for the Kohala Center. They matched it 100%, so we were able to raise $1,400 for the school garden, top line of the school garden. The thing right now is we're trying to raise about $5 million for the community garden. And again, 100% of those proceeds are coming back to the garden, back to the community. If you're interested in supporting the community garden side part, because the school garden is fully supporting them. You see me or come check us out at So the community garden actually, right now, I think there's two people who's working on that one bed we opened up. So I'm not sure what they're trying to grow, but the next garden bed is going to be strictly natural farming. And what would be really interesting is going to be, it's kind of turning out to be, we might be doing like a side-by-side comparison, traditional farming versus natural farming. And so again, we're looking just to raise just money in general to support the entire community garden. We're looking to raise maybe about $5 million. But outside of that, if you're interested in actually working on the community garden, at least we can always need more people. Just more awareness. What we're trying to actually do is basically replicate what Lesbo Hingle and Drake has done in the downtown area. That small triangle is able to put up a lot of food. And so we can replicate this, different places in downtown Hilo. We can change people's mindsets. It's a different paradigm. It's a paradigm shift. And you can grow this much food and this much space. Well, not a lot of money. And really, that's the kind of change that I think a lot of us are pushing for, making happen, changing people's hearts and minds.
David, Jonah, come up here and talk.
Those of you who does not know David, he's the ex-state senator.
Well, not only that, but first I was a farmer before that.
That's more important.
In fact, thank you for allowing me to speak. I was an orchid farmer right up here in Punawaishi, and then now I am an organic noni farmer. But my history with natural farming, which with Dr. Park started on the very first with Mike Folk, we were the first trip over to Korea when Master Cho came to talk to us. And all of us commercial growers are in the back room, and he was telling us all these things. And when he said, I have a pig farm that doesn't smell, I guess we laughed. And then Master Cho looked at us and said, you think I'm lying? And he goes, well, half the stuff he said is true. This is a pretty good farming technique, but we're all fully trained commercial farmers. We know what we're doing. I don't think you know what you're doing. But basically, long story short, we went to Korea. I actually went to Korea twice with Dr. Park. And I'm really sold on it. The only problem, I never started natural farming until now. And I kept on telling Dr. Park, we need a co-op because commercial farmers will not make that. I will not make IMO 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will not make OHN, SPJ. We're not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm so used to buying what I need. Buy the ton, buy the pallet load, spray it, apply it, requirement. So, but anyways, he built his machine, and I bought a couple of bags of IM04. And I said, I am going to try it, and I'm going to give it a hard run. I went, and I just built a small garden on our farm. And when I mean small, it's kind of similar what you want to do. Very cheap. I use the cheapest material. I put a hollow tile rim, weed mat on the bottom, because I hate weeds, because weeds will kill me. It destroys my garden, because I'm a low maintenance. I bought the cheapest mulch from Home Depot. Put the IMO4, put mulch, and I seeded. I have never seen such spectacular growth in my life. We were harvesting zucchinis and squash for 4 weeks from seed. I mean, I got pictures on my iPhone. We have zucchini and cucumbers about this long. That's about 7 to 8 weeks from harvest. I mean, lettuce growing out of our ears. In fact, I'm getting to juicing now because I figure we're throwing it away, all of our vegetables away, because we can't even consume that much vegetables. But that's just a phase then, because I know what Dr. Park told me, he may lose his IMO4 machine. I went, but now that I'm about ready to go commercial, because I know it's the spreadsheet is such that where commercial growers can now proceed into commercial, because it is viable. I proved it to myself, it's viable. I think we can make a profit farming again, commercial farming. Now we're going to lose IMO4 machine, or we may lose IMO4 machine, and I was like, oh great, we can't let that happen anymore. Because if we do that, then the commercial application guys will, we just don't have time to do this IMO1, IMO2, IMO3, and all this OHN kind of stuff. So I told Dr. Park, I'll start contacting, now that I proved it to myself, I'm pretty sure I can talk to some of the other bigger farmers out there. And some of the bigger farmers already came to look at my farm already. And they said, yeah, this is spectacular growth what we're getting. And if this is actually, we can replicate this on a commercial level, it is. I see this as, I told Dr. Park, this is like a disruptive technology to commercial agriculture. This is what the CD-ROM did, the CDs did to cassette tapes and 8-track tapes. It just totally wiped it out. This technology, I think, can and will be a disruptive technology for agriculture. I know we're getting into problems with Department of Health and all this, but certain obstacles we got to do, it'll really be able to do it. So I told Dr. Park, I said, if we can set up a commercial co-op, not only for marketing, but to making these things, I think that'll be wonderful, and I think we can really kickstart the whole industry into the commercial level from the basic community farm level to the full-on production models. So, but if you guys ever want to see my garden, if you want to see my garden, I'm right up here on Punta Hawaii, you can see the astounding growth that I got. And I grew everything, flowers, herbs, tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, all different varieties, beans, spinach, gladiolas, dahlias. I grew everything because I just wanted to try to see what works and what didn't work. And it's amazing what this thing, this IMO4 did. Well, I did, I also have worms, so I applied worm tea. And I'm growing aquaculture, so I got the fish wastewater, and I watered with that. But that's about all I did to get this astounding growth. So. And so I told Dr. Park, and he wanted me to help just talk about the co-op if anybody's interested, commercial grower co-op of starting one where we can help actually make all these implements on a commercial level. I think that's where I want to see natural farming go, is to get it to the commercial level now. Okay, good. Any questions?
I'm not going to check the ones that, like, we have half an acre in.
No, it's...
I mean, is it only...
No.
Will it be of any help to us to be able to...
The way the co-op structure is when I work with Tim O'Connell, the co-op is usually not, it's farmers, but the farmers don't run it. Usually it's an outside board, but the farmers are actually the owners of it. But you got to hire an outside management that are non-farmers, mainly for marketing. So if you want to go hit Whole Foods and say, we're the co-op, we're doing natural farming, here's our logo, here's our certification that we're all natural farming. We go to the Whole Foods and say, hey, I want to give us a list of what products you want and how many you want, when, and give us the schedule. We can go back to the growers and say, okay, I want 100 pounds of lettuce, 100 pounds of carrots, 100 pounds of this week. And people can farm it out. The co-op can kind of, the farmers can there take it and run with it. about
David,
it. Yeah.
You sold yourself. One of the biggest challenges we have is the commercial farmer. The iterator of those. They don't want to make the inputs.
Yeah.
You and I know that to make a career, none of those farmers is making any of the inputs.
Yeah.
Directed to the core. So my question to you is, there's a couple other people looking at this, including the university. But the way the university is looking at it is more of a certification of future farmers. Okay? You want to run a program very similar to what we call a master gardener program. So basically what it is they come in for 6 weeks, they learn how to make the inputs through CGNF. From there, when you graduate, before they get the certificate, they got to put in 60 hours, either a farm or a place where they sell the inputs, so that they get their certification. We think that this is the way it's going to happen, to get people certified, get them ready to go on the ground, because right now, there is so much confusion out there, it is unreal. Kim and I go out and we're looking at some research projects. And the first phase that we visit, I told a lady, a young spoon, because I like you taste yourself.
Yeah.
The thing was so bad. I said, we never teach you how to make this kind of place like this. Okay? So there has to be some kind of quality control. And basically, what you say in the core is what I mean, quality control and quality.
I'm hoping, I'm praying that that's what it is, because if I were to make all those inputs, I think I guarantee I'd kill all my plants. I mean, I just would, because I am not into making LAB, FA, all the, I can't even pronounce this. I don't even know what the acronyms are for. But you, because I'm a certified organic grower, and there's a certification, I mean, trying to be certified organic is killers. I mean, the protocols you got to go through and the inspections you got to go through. But I think it's important, like, if we can integrate the certification of natural farming, I don't think we should mess with organic, because HOFA already got out of the certification process because it's too expensive and too much of regulation. But, yeah, I think we need to get certified, and we need to get a central location like how that county did, where we can all grab our inputs, and somebody who knows how to build and make those things contested and make sure it's correct and tell us how much application, when to apply it, all that kind of stuff.
You know, I was a commercial farmer for 15 years, then I went to organic. I was certified by HOFA. And the last couple of years I've been trying to transition to natural farming while maintaining my organic certification. Now there's a big hullabaloo because I cannot use IMO4 or Mineral A because they don't know what's in it. They don't read Korean. I sent them the paper. The ICS won't accept it. So basically, I'm more or less suspended from using it until it gets submitted and cleared up. God knows when, if ever. But I sure hope so because, you know, it's part of my program now. And, you know, I believe in it. And I want to utilize it. You know, I'm trying a lot of different things that I've had to get certified, like biochar, vermipose, anything that is off-farm input that you didn't make, you have to get it reviewed or you can't before you use it with ICS, who took over for HOFA. And, you know, that's a big problem right now because it's planting time, and you know, you don't want to lie and use it and don't tell them, you know, because, you know.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, I'm a HOFA ICS too, but I think it's going to come a time where I'm going to have to drop one or the other, with Sarah, and for me, I think I'm going to break. I'd rather have natural than organic, because I see the production, and I see the quality, and I believe in this side, and I'm working really closely with Mike Hudson. Wow. I mean, they want him to get certified bad because he makes so much, but he actually does Korean natural farming. He does natural farming. He just doesn't know it. My cousin, Wild Farms, the tomato grower.
Yeah,
you gotta see his farm. Amazing. He's totally amazing. But he showed me what he does, and he actually does Korean natural farming. Nope. All greenhouses, doesn't use any chemicals, whole foods, all the chefs want his tomatoes bad. And he can't even keep up with demand.
Where's he based?
Waimea. So, and he said the heck with organic and giving him 5% of his gross income or something, I forgot what it was. He just went all natural, and the whole foods and all the chefs came and actually seen what he's doing, likes what he's doing, and paying premium for his tomatoes.
Yeah, that's the way.
So I figure if we get a premium, don't have to do all that certification. I'm switching over when it comes down to it, but I can't switch over until we have a commercial viability of all these inputs, because I can't grow it without somebody making these inputs for me.
Right. Unlike you.
I think from the consumer's point of view, there's going to be questions about what the relationship between organic and
natural
farming is, because they're going to want to know what they're eating. For instance, I've been looking for eggs, and I found somebody who had a card that said natural farming in their eggs. So I said, what do you feed your chicken? And they feed them commercial fetch, which is genetically modified corn. You know, and that's in the DNA, so it passes through the egg to the people, you know. And so there are people concerned about that. They're going to be concerned about whether this is organic, you know, what's in the input. I think that the organization has to have a position.
Yeah, that's why, Mike says, I think we got to certify the technique of growing, as well as the input. Because there's a lot of, I think the difference between natural farming and...
Say you're using commercial bagasse to make your IMO. I mean, there's chemicals, commercial agricultural chemicals and all that stuff. So you're bringing that into your system and calling it natural farming, you know. So there's so many consumers now who are really concerned about having things organic. You've got to have a compelling position.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Is that key corn?
Yeah.
The sweet cane cafe?
Mm-hmm.
He never used after the 4 years ago he started having natural farming. Never used any chemicals. No chemical fertilizer, no pesticides.
Yeah.
Her sugar cane is really pure.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all pure.
Mm-hmm. Well, they grow their own.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things are really evident.
So if natural farming, you know, umbrella includes people who are raising animals, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to be clear on the feed. Are you going to just allow, you know, the commercial feed but, you know, just have a position on it.
Yeah.
You know,
so we do give some commercial feed, but not only commercial feed, maybe 30% commercial feed, but the rest of them are natural feed, like the grass and IMO.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm concerned. I'm a GMO campaigner. And recently I came across an article where in Canada, doctors tested 90 women who were pregnant. And do you know what BT is?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the insecticide that's engineered into the corn or the soy or whatever. It's in the DNA. So they found it in the DNA of the women and fetuses. So theoretically, humans are becoming biofactories, insecticide biofactories.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a concern.
It is a concern, but it takes time to change. So Nestor Joe actually teach us that we need to grow animal feed along with when we produce our vegetable whatnot. The byproduct will be their feed, but it just takes time. You know, so right now we are doing research with soybeans, so it can be their part of their protein source. Because chicken or you know, pig or whatever, they need some percentage of protein. Yeah. So we are working on it, but it's not gonna be happen overnight. But meanwhile, we still need to produce some food. have a conversation, I think. But we are trying to look at because of our fertilizer, we call it input, actually 100% natural. We can consume it. If we cannot consume it, we don't give it to our plant or animal. If most of the fertilizer, if you consume it, you will die or very, very sick. So right there, it's already, you know, way we are ahead than other products. So we try our best. So just be patient.
I know the certification process is crazy because I do aquaponics. There, I can't get certified because they won't certify the water. Because the county water has all kinds of chemicals in it. So it's like, there really is a fine line in certification, but I think if we actually certify Korean natural farming, not natural farming, because there's a lot of natural farming products out there. It's just that they don't, you know, I don't know how they label it. But that's why the organic certification is so strict and stringent, because it's so expensive. But if we can get a Korean natural farming certified with the products, I think it'll be great. At least we can make the products and we can actually, commercial guys will actually get into it, I think.
We can report some of the chemo. Perfect timing, yeah. Thank you, David, to present his experience. I think that's the kind of thing that I'd like to have everybody learn by experience. I know some of the people who have used this IMO from me, they said, oh, it has an adverse effect. I have a very, general kind of things have been using this. I went to Korea to attend another basic seminar by Master Cho to see whether I learned 7 years ago, 2005, that was, correct or not, because I'm teaching now. And then also, I was so happy to hear Master Cho became a double professor of New York State University in Korea, as well as Stony Brook, New York State University. I understand this is one of the best, if not the best, university in this New York State. So he became a double professor. So he's, he only graduated high school in Korea, in agriculture high school. But his wisdom is recognized by the, reputable academic institution in the United States. As well as I told before most of the people that he was really honored by the India. They have a 100,000 student body university that, they developed this Cho Global Natural Farming Institute. So that happened because that the community which depending on this rubbish dump, people became very rich community in 5 years' time. So the university next to the village, wow, that's something is there. What happened to the change that's transforming this universe? I mean, the town which is poorest people who depending on the rubbish dump become a rich people. So they found out natural farming. One lady learned 2005, changed the whole community, transformed. So they said, this is worthwhile to research. So that became this, India, the 100,000 student body university. And then right next month, November 2010, Beijing, China, there's a People's University. It's a ranking number 3 in national university in out of 100 universities in China. They recognized the Master Cho's beneficial contribution to the country of China. Because, you know, Olympic time, nobody grumbled the stinky smell from the pig farm. You know, the Chinese people eat this meat, 90% is pork. So all the armies of the China who was stationed in all the big cities, the Olympics was held. And they raised these pigs for the army. But there's all stinky smell, so bad, the people grumbled, you know, we don't want to have any stinky smell pig pen here. Get these things out of here. The people grumbled. So, you know, that highest ranking general heard that there is a odorless pig pen. So he went down, found out Master Cho was the one taught it 16 years before. So he was brought in 2005, 3 years before the Olympics. And he was asked to teach how to do that odorless pig pen, which he did. And so Olympic time, there is no pig pen in Chinese army as a stinky smell. So he was awarded his Friendship Award, which is the most prestigious award for the foreign expert to help this Chinese government. So he was awarded in November in 2008, right after the Olympics. And because of that, that the People's University thought this is very worthwhile to investigate, because not only not stinky smell, but also the economy. I mean, it's the cost of the farming is so low compared to the conventional. You know, China has a lot of conventional farming. So because of that, they decided to have a research institute in People's University. So now, you know, India is one of the rising countries, right? And China, and now in United States. So I think this is a really recognizing state of the natural farming, true global natural farming. So if state of Hawaii can, you know, lead our trend that we're going to continue on natural farming as our sustainable way of farming, I think this will be the right things to happen in here. Now, talking about this, my machine, I brought it, I think, 6-7 years ago, if I'm not correct, from Korea. I bought it $130,000 and brought it with my partner, Yong Ki Han. He's an economic professor. My intention was not making money, but just have the people learn and aware this IMO is a very, very good thing to use it. And so I try to use this. First, we had a county grant money, $40,000. And Mike Dupont and the Yong Ki Han had a study of feed of the for the pigs. And it was a 3 or 4 months study, right? So there was a very successful. You know, there was a prison here, Kulani prison that time. So they have a food scrap, brought it to this machine, to process by this IMO with that, and then food was the food waste became a very odorless powder form of pig feed, and was tried to feed, and that was successful. Although the weight was a little less than conventional thing. So it was a successful event, would you say, Mike?
It was very successful event. You know, we are one of 22 states that still allows us to put garbage that's eaten. And the reason why the state has not stopped it is they don't know what to do with the garbage. If the pigs stop picking up the garbage, it's going to end up in the landfill. If it ends up in the landfill, you get more of a cow than having guys cook pig feed, right? So with this machine, it solved a major problem in that we took the garbage that smelled and we made a pig feed that came out through the other end that smelled like a chocolate chip cookie. And the pigs just loved it. Okay? And Dr. Park says the weight gain wasn't as good as the commercial feed, but it doesn't matter. Because if the farmer looks at it and gets the feed for a cheaper price than what he can buy for the feed, he's going to go after that. My biggest challenge is I need a machine. Because that's where all the garbage is. It's not here. Most of the garbage here is already being picked up for people. So, like, there is not that need. Humbug of the whole situation is the big farmers at home will get paid to pick up the garbage. So they're not interested in changing their habits. Because I make more money picking up garbage than I make for the pigs. So the only way that I can break that paradigm shift is taking Dr. Park's theory that he cut me off the bill, messed up, fabricated them throughout the whole state, so then they're going to need the food. So that's what's happening here on this island. Because right now, I've already built 9 on this island. I've built 2 already on the one. And when I go back on the 18th, I'm going to build 2 more. So it's starting to replicate itself, right? And they're not going to the federal government, which is kind of weird, because the federal government got cost-sharing to build piggeries, because these piggeries are so economical, you don't need the cost-sharing. I'll give you a story. Okay, this one is a true story. I just entertained 40 farmers from Virginia. They came in, they visited Kenny's farm. When I got into the piggery, I started turning on my sales machine. They didn't want to leave the pig farm because they were so interested in what they saw. I said, well, you guys got to meet the next stop. The next stop is the market farm on the road. Jump on a bus, go to the next farm. Next day, they're all in my mail. 3 days later, I get a phone call from this lady. I want to come visit your pig farm. Because we're interested in putting up a pig farm. So I said, where are you? She says, I'm in KL, so can we meet you at KL East Harbor? I said, okay, meet me there and I'll take you to the pig farm. I show up there and she brings her husband. The first thing I recognize on the husband is the cat. Oh, I got one of those cats. You went to your farm too, that's from Virginia. Oh no, man. I had a bus driver from the trip. It made such an impact on those howlings from the mainland. This is what they told me. All day after they left the piggery, they only talked pigs. The next day they climb in the bus, they're still talking about pigs. They don't want to see nothing else, they only want to see the pig farm. So I want to see the pig farm, but I have to stay in the bus and watch all the drivers. I couldn't see the pigs. So I took them to the pig farm, I gave my spiel. 3 days later they sent me a picture. My pig farm found. 3 days. A 2-stall pig farm. What he used was all the lava rock to make the walls, put the screen up, put the all the greenways from the ground up, 15 and 3. 3 days to the big rig. So people are interested in sustainability.
Can I ask you, are these
fish
being sold locally?
I can, if I can.
Oh, so you
have to
know.
Fairmont Market just called.
You have to know a farmer.
You have to know a farmer, right? The Fairmont Market just called me, and they were in court. Mm-hmm. I have to tell them, on the pig farm, we just sold all the pigs, which we did. I wasn't that in the line. But I had an opportunity to sell pork. One of the major hotels here on the site. So I told him, what other products you want to use? He said, we'll put those. Thank you. Don and Jackie Cavalier when you're meeting with objects. So Jackie, this is your sales right here. You don't make a lot of sales to that hotel, and you'll start seeing the profitability part. This is the break we needed for natural funding. So I sit down with Drake, I like what you're doing. You gotta figure out where these problems are then. Because you gotta figure out either a port or something, but consolidate because some of these funds are too small. They cannot supply everything that the hotel needs. But if you put them all together, yes, we can. And until we get David Matsuura to get the commercial guys good, because people are asking about natural farming products.
So until we know the perfect things to analyze all these, you know, contaminated food things, we're going in the right direction anyway. And then, you know, in terms of my machine, after that, I could not get the health department permit to produce that pig feed because they wanted to analyze all the names and the bacterias or microorganisms in the IMO4, which there's no laboratory analyze those things. So that means I could not use that machine for the pig feed. So that was stopped. And then I was thinking about maybe we can use as a fertilizer substitute because that is the IMO4, yeah? Majority of the, you know, when you have a soil, if you want to have a healthy soil, you got to have IMO, especially IMO4. So IMO4 is the most important for the soil. Above the soil is the other inputs that you need to use, calcium phosphate, fish amino acid, or water-soluble calcium, and seawater, and things like that is above the soil to make it. So IMO4 is very essential to make a healthy soil. And so I wanted to use that machine as a soil substitute. And so I talked with Jerry Kahana, who is in charge of the agriculture department. She verbally okayed, so I started making those and then started selling. And one of the problems somebody brought up is this is not an American-made boiler. With that machine has a boiler to make it steam boil, steam to elevate the temperature. So the purpose of the steam boiler is to make this on high temperature first, about half an hour, to kill all kinds of pathogenic organisms. And then we cool down, and then we added IMO2 so that they can multiply. So that's the whole purpose of this, you know, the steam boiler. This is not a Korean made, somebody brought up, so we try to get these things exchanged, and I have not found this easy solution. So we try to somebody and ask him who knows how to do that. I still have not come up with this substitute yet, but a couple of days ago, I found that in LA, there's a new boiler, 15 horsepower boiler, which costs about $14,800. And then have to have a shipping cost and then installing cost, whatever. But so this is my some problems, and I'm not trying to be a businessman. I try to help the community. So I want to, you know, take off from my hand. So I talked with David Matsuura, and he said, "Oh, I want to have this machine available for this one." So I was going to donate to the University of Nations and the Kona, so they can use, because if they use themselves, not selling others, then there's okay, right, Mike? If it's their own.
Well, there's a little bit of challenge there.
So, yeah, I think eventually they will change, though, but as long as they don't sell other people, then they can use within their facility, I mean the land, because they need a sustainable food product too. So if I can just donate to them, then they might use it until they have enough fund to replace this American-made boiler. And then, you know, then that will solve the problem of anybody complaining. So this is my offer to this, you know, I want to ask $25,000 and then 5% royalty. Or $10,000 with a 10% royalty. If a co-op take over this machine and then take care of this machine for the whole farmers community, with the commercial farmers or, you know, small farmers. Right now, the KTA and Ace Hardware is in marketing, and the 5-pound, 10-pound garden exchange, and then farmers supply co-op, they're selling 50-pound as well as they break down as 10-pound to the. So this is my proposal to the farmers tonight, official proposal. If you know, any of you or several of you interested in starting co-op and taking over my machine, then I'll be happy to that happen. If not, I'm seriously thinking about donating to the University of Nations so they can, you know, just use that limited area. But I think. You know, if you have anything to suggest me any other way, because I have so much headache, I'm getting a stress. because my initial thought was just try to help this community, but some people are not very happy with that, and so although the machine is working all right, and actually Dean Pinner is a ginger farmer. Was it 2009? Yeah, 2009, he used this IMO 3 instead of 4 without soil, and he said a successful result that time.
I'll explain.
Yeah.
When I first was introduced to natural farming to Dr. Park and Drake, and John Cavalry was very insensitive on it. I started to plant ginger on a field that tested positive for Ralstonia, which is bacterial wilt. Ginger is the most prevalent disease of ginger. It's devastating. It can take your whole crop in 6 weeks, and we've been fighting it since the late 80s, and it's not pretty. It's bad for tomatoes and it's bad for ginger. There's 5 major strains. But anyway, Drake's land, while it may have had ginger in the 80s before they purchased it, it's been pasture ever since, and it's been many years at least, but it's still tested positive. So I went in there with IMO, opened it up, IMO 3, and some IMO 4 that I made with John Caverney. And while the crop did not grow really well, I mean, it was kind of yellow the whole year, I had almost zero rot, far less than 1%, and which is a miracle. And so I planted it again the second year, and it grew very bad again, and I actually thought, you know, it was diseased, and I didn't really spend a lot of money on it, but in the end, the top was just not that good, the bottom was good. You know, there was very little rot, but it was stunted, and the tonnage was way, way low. But, and now, I've recently tested 3 lands. One was virgin, One is 12 years absence of ginger, and the third one is the wine and parcel. They all test positive for the bacteria. The one that's supposedly virgin is the highest count. So, God knows, but we're going into all three parcels again, and we're going in with biochar, vermicompost, IMO4, nutrients, you know, earth, only mined substances, no synthetic fertilizer, no sprays, you know, all natural ingredients, but we're going in again. And I'm confident that this year we're going to get it right. But we had a problem because the soil, the IMO that I bought, we tested and it had the living bacteria in it. Apparently the soil that they used to mix with was contaminated. And so I bought a bag from Farm Supply and I also bought the ton bag from the machine, and they both were positive. So this year we're going to test it before we use it and make sure there's no living bacteria in there. But I think it has a lot of merit, you know, and I am getting truly fed up with organic certification. I mean, I'm up to here. But if I can convince my market to buy my products, which they love, I mean, there's no problem with my reputation, with my buyers. They want my turmeric, ginger, and whatever. And, you know, if they tell me you don't need to be certified, we still want it, I'm done. You know, I'd much rather be sustainable. You know, let me poison the road within 50 feet of my garden. You know, instead of wasting my time weeding, little things like that, you know.
So I tested the last one. We got the different the soil from the, you know, where was this last soil we bought it?
This
one. Huh? Alai Cemetery. Alai Cemetery above them. So they had the new soil, so we bought it and we tested that one. That was negative before. Even after the machine was negative, this tested. So that's both before and after that soil was negative. So, I, you know, I have no idea.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You know the last batch of IMO, I have funny story, that you sent to Farm Supply?
No.
They got it last week or something, right? You delivered to Farm Supply last week?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I went in there today and I said, I need living microbes. I want worm compost with living microbes. He showed me all the bags. I read the bag, black gold compost, you know, worm castings. I go, these aren't alive. I said, where's your IMO? He goes, oh, the IMO's over here. I put my hand in the middle of the pallet. It's hot. I said, brother, this is living microbes. Right here. Feel it. I said, take the top, I want the one in the middle. And you know, I've got to throw in the compost. You know, I'm mixing with biochar and compost. You know, the mulch that I've rotten for 1 year from the dump. You know, I've been, you know, mulching it, airing it out for 9-10 months. So it's all black. And so I'm gonna mix that with biochar and a little IMO and
1:10 ratio. 1 part of IMO4,
10 part of organic.
Yeah, I think
compost.
That's maybe. But I'm gonna test it first.
Yeah, so you know, I'm not a really farmer myself and I just learn from Master Cho and trying to just pass on the information I got it from. So, you know, I'm trying to do my best, but some people said, oh, the IMO is hot, so it's bad. It'll burn off. But if So IMO is very active, activated, then it'll bring the temperature up. So if it's a cool down, cold weather, or, you know, dry weather, then it'll, temperature will go down because they are dormant state. So it's not, it's all dead or bad because it's a cool down. It's a dormant status now. When you do have a spread and then spray some of the other nutrient solution, they become very active, activate. Then will temperature gotta go up because they, when they ferment, then their temperature will, fermentation fever will go up. So if you understand those things, and we do not recommend to dig it down deep and then put it that IMO 4. We want it to spray on top of it, and then you mulching it over it so that you can block the direct sunlight, and then it also helps to go down. Overnight, it'll go down. So it's not, you have to really cover this a long days. You just have 2 hours before sun goes down, then you just spray, and overnight it can go down. If you happen to spray some of the nutrient solution, it'll activate. So even next day, you know that all the IMO is down in the inside the soil system. You don't have to dig it and then bury it. So that's the things that everybody has to use it properly. Then you will, and I hope, we just try to getting learn more and more every time we use it, and then we can share this new information to everybody so we can all get the benefit out of it. Rather than, oh, even Korea, you know, they, about 20,000 plus farmers got this seminar. They don't practice everybody. The one persistent, persevere farmers who does, average speaking, more than 3 years, then they're okay. They know how to use it. They know how to make it. If there's some mistake, then they know how to correct. So these are the general average learning curve. So you got to have a 3 years experience with your farm, then you become sort of an expert. And so you know what happens wrong, then most likely this is the cause, then you try some other way, and then you learn the new things. So I think this will be the average time of learning curve in Korea. I don't see any big difference here as well. So I hope everybody can just try and to learn each other, and to improve our benefit out of that. I had this Indonesia, they have a trial of the comparable study between this conventional farming as well as the natural farming. And they reported all different kinds of, they had a soil fertilization, vanilla, I don't even know the Garudamon, Barakku, cassava, banana, yellow cucumber, papaya, arbizia, even fish and the lamb and broiler, chicken, tomato, pepper, jirokusage, rice, corn, grapes. All these, they have a comparison study. Every one have been beneficial effect. This is a 2-year study between conventional and then natural. Indonesia, they learned 2005, same as that Indian lady who went to India to teach these things. And their report is all positive. They have a stronger, the longer shelf life, most of them. They have a good taste. They have a high quantity. You know, the cucumber size is, and the banana also, the small, the conventional versus natural is big, and tastes good. And the shelf life is prolonged. So, in other words, they have that, hey, this is a all positive or beneficial effect. So, Zhu Yongqiu, the daughter, asked us, do you have any comparison study like this? So the mic, now we have about, how many farmers now?
Seven on this side and three on the
corner. Yeah, so about 10 farmers now with the comparative study. When is it going to be finished?
Last day is May 31st.
May 31st. So we will have a comparison study in the state of Hawaii now. So if we have those results, we would like to share this information. And so far, you said it's all kind of positive or beneficial?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's so, what we've seen so far is our color of culture. And not only do you mean what you see. I don't know if she has fluid or not, but she said, yeah, there's no difference. But you walk in the middle of the orchard and you just look. She said, half the orchard she's sprayed on half. She didn't spray. The half she sprayed was just loaded with flowers. She said,
so,
when
you
sprayed with what?
Poison, FBJ, brown rice vinegar,
yeah,
and tobacco and calphos.
The he never came to my seminar either, but he knows everything. But anyway, this is all positive report that have tried, not just for Hawaii or Korea, but different countries. So I think this will prove that we can continue try and learn, and we might have a different kind of result, depends how you tried, how, you know, you learned from, but it will eventually go the right direction so that we can have a whole purpose of this. The whole goal is sustainability of this, our the food product in the state of Hawaii, right? I saw about 92% we have to purchase from the outside of Hawaii to maintain our food in the state of Hawaii. So we should go, you know, this one should go down way, way, way below. So that's the whole idea. So I want to just thank you for everybody. And this is a good... Oh, one more thing that I want to tell you is that, you know, Hyundai company, you know the car? They not only have a car company, but they have a construction company huge in globally. Then that company president, what he did is a portion of the Korean the ocean, he buried this ocean with this the dirt from the mountain. So what do you call that? Reclaimed land? They have reclaimed land about something like 100,000 of acres. It's huge. Our territory was expanded in Korea. Anyway, initially, you know, this is very salty, right? So the people thought, it's going to take forever to have a usable, fertile land. Last year, that president asked specifically the Master Cho, no, don't ask anybody else. You do this farming here. In Korea, most popular one is the rice. So Zhu Yongqiu, she planted the rice, 1.5 acres. They were so successful. That particular rice and the rice straw was pre-sold. You know what do they call that? You pay the cash first before you get harvest. How do you call that here?
Commodity.
Contract. Okay. But anyway, she got the money before she harvested. And that rice was sold for the lunch program for the school.
Wasn't it more than 1.5 acres?
I think that her area was one
area.
Yeah, her area. She just planted that rice for 1.5 acres. So good in the quality and then so good in the taste. So that was sold just for the school lunch program. And then even that school lunch program is not any school. That's a very highest, richest area. So they were really sold really high price. Anyway, another thing is the rice straw. The rice straw was fed for the best Korean cows. You know, the sold that meat, beef is sold in the richest market in Korea. That cow fed was the purchase that the rice straw from the Juyong. So she gets the highest price, highest quality people the market. So that is so successful. The president of the Hyundai construction company, he resigned the construction company job. And he became a CEO of the CGNS Global. So he is going to do all this structure is a global industry as a natural farming one. And so he's doing now all the legal things that, so when we wanted to have this kind of product as a CGNF, umbrella, then we have to have their permission to produce and market. I mean, this is going to be happening in the near future. So that's, I was told, the information. They're going to have not only the production, but also marketing. It's all globally, it's going to be happening. Then I think they might have their own certificate of, inspection or whatever. So we will expect that this will happen to the, not only Korea but also globally. Then we will go by, and they also they're planning to develop this international training center in that Seosan, Korea, and then you will have not just a lecture for 1 week or anything seminar, but also they have a farm training farm, 3 months course, 6 months course. You know, 1 year course, something like that. So all global people, leaders will come in there, learn not just the, you know, didactic lecture, but also farm experience of all this training. And then they go back and then they teach them their own country people or area people. So this is going to be happening soon. And then you don't have to learn Korean only. the English-speaking people probably will do that. Thank you for listening.
Does anyone have anything else for tonight? Food time? Talk story?
I just wanted to say one thing. I came across an order from Japan for 500 kilos of mamaki. Dried, cut, and sifted. But we couldn't sell it from this island.
Shifted meat?
No, they ordered. They wanted a sample. 500 kilos. Yeah.
Dr. Park wants to make an announcement about the sister city relationship.
Oh, yes. The nine-member team, including the mayor of the Gokseong County, came here April the 2nd. And the main thing happened was that he and Mayor Chinoy signed the paper of the sister city relationship between the county of Hawaii and the county of Gokseong County. They call it Doom. And so we have a sister city already developed. What that means for you is that we might be able to visit their farms if we are interested in, enough people interested in, to go over there and then you know, so they visit their farms because they are really, really advanced. For the past, they started in 2010, I think, right?
1949.
So this is their third year? 30, yeah. So 2009. I mean, this year, they're installing 5-ton machine of this animal machine. And so they're going to, what they do is the county provides all these things in one center. So all the natural farmers, they gather together, they make their own thing, but like animal four, you know, they don't have, you know, enough manpower or time. So they're using the machine, and they, actually the all the inputs they're making their own. But if the time comes, it's a global industry, of course the, all the inputs are going to be very accurately made by the machine, I believe. But until then, all this center has is providing all the natural farming farmers, they learn each other, they make each other, they store for them, they even store to the ocean water on the ground. Because the longer the storage of this ocean water, the more strong or effective. So they provide all these things. So natural farming farmers are really benefiting from that system, the town. So if we can go visit them, I think we can learn their system. And we can do, if the, our county does not do that, at least the farmers can do that. And then, our organization can do that. Yes.
So when you go to Korea to visit these farms, it's what, 2 weeks?
No,
10 days?
Actually, we talked about it, about 3 days in that area. Okay? Because the last time we go, from one place to other place, not all the farmers are welcoming the foreigners,
No way.
But this county, now we have a sister-city relationship.
Oh.
So we can officially request to go to your county. We are brother and sister.
Right.
So they will designate the farmers to show us, best farmers. In the 3 days in there, some of the people want to have a little Korean shopping. So we can show some of this fancy Korean, the Seoul, you can have a shopping, free food, street food is amazingly good. Anyway, so if enough people are interested, maybe this fall, usually the best time to go to Korea is the harvest season, which is October. October, we have all kinds of food, things that are available. And so, this is going to be, next time if you go, we're going to coordinate with the travel company, which will cost